You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We had an opportunity to catch up with Joe Haden today. He addressed the media. Here's what he has to say.
Joe, how you feeling,
man? I'm getting a whole lot better.
I see a good looking face, my friend.
What has this been like for you?
Oh, it's been tough. It's been real tough. You know, missing playing, missing being out there with my dudes, you know, being able to watch them and just knowing that I can help, you know, it's been difficult. But, you know, I'm glad that I'm getting a whole lot better and I'm feeling a whole lot better.
Joe, what were your symptoms? What were you going through?
Oh, man, it was tough. I was going through, you know, just a lot of dizziness, a lot of just sensitive light, sensitive to noise, stuff like that. You know, it was just things that I just never really went on with me before, you know, so it was difficult to have that going on, you know, and not really know what was really going on.
With all the attention now that's being paid to concussions, the movie that's out there, how unnerving has this been for you to have two of them in such a short span and then obviously the second one ultimately end your season?
It was tough. It was really tough. But I think the thing was when I went and met with the specialist out in Pittsburgh, you know, he was able to let me know kind of what was going on. I mean, out there it's like the headquarters for concussion, so they basically are the people that are ahead of the game. So just at first when I was getting my stuff going on, I didn't really know what was going on. I didn't know what I was looking for. So when I went out there, he was able to sit down, show me exactly what kind of concussion I had, what exactly I would need to do to get it right, the different tests that he would make me do to get my symptoms, you know what I'm saying, to make me know. So, like, I just felt a whole lot more comfortable, and they put up a plan for me to get back right, and just knowing that I was going to be 100% healthy and I was going to be able to heal and be back right, and there wasn't going to be any long-term effects. So going out there to him helped me out a whole lot just with my mental.
Were you kicked on that play?
I could show y'all actually my lip. I got the cleat hit me in my lip, which hit me up against my face. So my lip actually split all the way through. I had stitches in my lip, and that was kind of what it was.
Joe, can you give us a little bit of a timeline? When did you go to Pittsburgh, and are you symptom free now?
I'm symptom free now. I'll say it was when I first had my concussion, we were going week by week, you know, and I just kind of was hanging out, you know, just trying to. The first protocol is basically you don't really do too much anything. And when I went out to the specialist out there, he was just showing me just a different way to kind of attack it to heal what was going on, you know. So I think when I went back out there for him, he knew that my symptoms and stuff, I wasn't ready to come back and go. I was going to be out for a while. So just knowing that, being able to just not feeling like maybe this week I'd be able to come back and play. Maybe this week I'd be able to go back and play. He was just telling me that it was going to take me a while to get back right. So just being able to come back in here and knowing that it's going to take a little second just helped my mental and helped me knowing that, you know, maybe not this week you're going to be right, but just after, just do this treatment and then you'll come back and you'll be able to be 100% healthy.
When did you go on? When did you go to Pittsburgh?
3 weeks ago.
Joe, what is the treatment? What can you do?
Yeah, I don't think that's my place to put it out what I had to do.
Go ahead.
Were you worried that your career was over? I mean, was it that bad that you were concerned that you wouldn't be able to come back from this?
I wasn't worried about my career. I was just kind of worried about, you know, how you get all them concussion things coming at you at one time, and I didn't ever have one, and I wasn't used to going through anything like this. Wasn't really used to having to be hidden in my house, you know. I was in the crib about a month and a half, 2 months, where they just say, you know, when you're in the protocol, don't be seen, don't be out, and don't let nobody see you. You just kind of got to be tucked. And that whole thing of just being in the facility for a little bit, getting my treatment, going back home, you know, that whole process is so tough. Like, you know, you see your dudes practicing, you see your dudes playing, you see them going out to the games, and you can not only not be out there, but you can't be outside of your house. So, you know, just that whole situation was a little tough. And then going out to Pittsburgh and just finding out what was really going on, how long this was really going to be going on, was something that just really helped me out.
Did the Browns send you to Pittsburgh, or did you choose to go there and go?
Both.
Why is it a secret what you
this process that you had to go through to get better?
No, it's just I don't feel like it's my job to put it out there. I mean, the bro, we're doing everything that they had to do to get me back right, and I think that with everything I've been doing, that's the process that I'm on, so I'm feeling back right now.
Are you planning to see the movie Concussion?
Were I able to see the movie?
Yeah, you're going
to see it? Yeah, I'm going to actually go see it.
Why?
I like Will Smith.
Did you have to adjust your helmet at all?
Exactly what happened.
Did you have to adjust your helmet when you came back? Are you looking at what the helmets have, the safety ratings?
A lot of the stuff with the helmets, you know, I mean, I'm definitely looking at that stuff too. And I think some of the stuff just goes from, you know, just making sure you're out there buckling it up, staying strapped, and just making sure that you pay attention to it. I need to pay attention to my safety a little bit more.
When did you start to feel like yourself again?
I'm still not all the way back right, but I'm getting a whole lot better. I could say about a week ago.
You hear stories like in different sports, guys that couldn't even go see their kids play indoors in a loud arena because of the light sensitivity and the noise.
Yeah.
I mean, have you heard these stories, and did they scare you when you started hearing stuff like that?
I mean, you know, that's where it gets to the point where to know is something. You know, to know the facts, to know that what could happen, to know what happened to people prior, to know what concussions can do to people in knowing what's going on. And with that being said, regardless, I'm going to play ball. You know what I'm saying? So I think just being able to know what's going on, knowing what's going on, knowing what could happen to you, knowing what happened to people previously, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we're in this game, and not saying some people, I mean, if you don't know and then you find out what could happen to you, if you don't think that football is going on like that, I mean, I could see how that could really touch you. But I mean, I'm glad that people are aware and that it lets you make a decision, you know.
So can you talk about how difficult it has been to watch this whole season from the outside looking in, and now there could be coaching changes and upheaval and all that kind of stuff. How difficult has this been to watch?
It's, you know, y'all been here too since just as long as I've been here, so you know, I mean, way longer. I mean, it's tough. It's really tough, and especially when there's nothing I could do about it. You know, I mean, when in the previous years, I mean, the situation's been similar. You know, and I've been able to at least the best I could do. I can go out there and play. That's all I can do. I can go out there and play, give it my best. And this situation sucks a little bit more because you see it going on, you've been around it, and I don't want to feel the detached from my team. That's the part that sucks the most, just the detached, just feeling like you're not in it with us. But at the same time, I can't play, and that's all that you can do when situations are going bad, when you're losing, when people don't know what's going on with coaches, and people don't know what's going on with certain things. The best thing we can do as players, we can control, best thing we can do is go out there and play our ass off. So with this whole thing going on, the thing that I can't do anything, you know. So I think that's the part that makes it tough, and just wanting to be out there with them. So I feel like I'm whatever they're getting, I'm getting it with them. Just not feeling like, man, Joe, you're not out there with them, whatever. You just, it is what it is. It's not like that at all. I wish I could be out there playing with them because, I mean, this is my job. I want to be out there with my guys. So, I mean, with everything being how it is, it's just tough not to be in the situation with your dudes, knowing whatever happens next year happened to us. It happened to all of us.
Would you like to see Patton come back? Sorry, I want to follow up. Would you like to see Mike Patton come back? I mean, there might be a coaching change. What are your thoughts on that?
I like Coach Pat a lot. I mean, he's a good coach. I know that's at the end of the day, that's not my decision. But, I mean, if he comes back, I'd be extremely excited. I mean, he's a good dude, a good coach. And, you know, I mean, that's just something out of my control. But, I mean, if I had to say, I like Coach Pat a lot.
Joe, I haven't said how much it hurts you not being out there. Do you get feedback? You've talked about fan feedback before. Mm-hmm. Feedback that you have cashed it in. Says, I'm going to go back out there. Does that affect you at all?
More than you'll ever know. More than you'll ever know. Just because it's ball. Like, what do you mean cashing it in? I don't get that. And like, this is what I do. I love playing ball. And for people to say that, me being in the situation for it, I've been here 6 years, you know what I'm saying? Like, why would I do that now? I mean, and it's something that I got a concussion, and I didn't know. I was, when we were going week by week trying to figure out if it was going to be right, and I finally went out and found somebody to tell me what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So anybody saying that I'm cashing it in, I mean, I don't believe that that's a diehard fan. I mean, I see you. The thing I had to realize was it's going to be a lot less. People are going to say things. You know what I'm saying? People are going to say whatever they want. But just knowing that my teammates, my people that know me and know what I stand for, know that that's not what it is at all.
Is that one of the scary, is that one of the stigmas that surround this, as you're finding out that because it's not a knee where someone can say, oh, he's out for 4 to 6 weeks, then it does lead to that group of outsiders mm-hmm. saying, oh, he must be just not want to play. Because that's one of the things with concussions, as you know, mm-hmm. it can last a week. It can last months.
And that's the thing, too. It's not everybody. Like, the thing is, everybody's learning the concussion thing as far as it goes on the fly. And with the protocol and with the way that they handle it, I mean, a lot of things are out of our hands. You know what I'm saying? So people, and the thing, they have to educate people on knowing that, I mean, it's different types of concussions. It's different lengths that people are going to be out. It's different ways to treat them, all different types of ways. So it's just like you can't say, like, mine is the same as Hawks or the same as Johnny's or the same as anybody's. Nobody knows how it happened, when it happened. So just being able to, the knowledge of being able to know the difference between the concussions is something
you,
that.
You obviously did a lot of work in the offseason with Justin, mm-hmm. and it quite hasn't gotten to the point where he's a regular contributor. What will you tell him as he gets ready for another offseason to try to get him to where a number 8 pick in the draft should be playing next year?
Man, you got to want it. You got to want it, you know, it comes to that point where, you know, you're at a crossroads when you got to figure out what can you do to help yourself out, you know. And now Gilbert, he's a talent. The talent isn't a question at all. You know, my whole thing is just you got to just want it. You know what I'm saying? I think that he's going to have to go out this offseason and do the same, just grind, and got to just have to come back with a new focus and ready to go.
How much have you leaned on Hawk and vice versa? You guys in similar situations?
Man, I really like Hawk. Hawk is a pro's pro. He's a dude that keeps it real. And I was just able to talk to him. And, you know, just knowing the kind of guy he is, too, that it makes it so much easier to talk to. Because, you know, Hawk, he's a work hard grinder that wants to be out there and playing. So when you got dudes that you can really talk to and going through the same situations as you, it's a lot easier to, you know, express yourself.
So, Joe, are you confident that 20 years from now that you're not going to have some cumulative effect from these two concussions this year?
Yes. I'm back to 100% sure that I'm going to be, that this is going to have no long-term effects on me.
And because of what you went through, sorry, go ahead.
Yes, because of what I went through and because of what I've learned and what I know about my situation.
Joe, you're good friends with Johnny. Our coach was talking about how he's made strides on the field and in the offseason. He wants him to address some of the off-the-field stuff again. What is your take about on that? And can you be instrumental in kind of guiding him or helping him? Or do you think he needs to do anything like that?
Say that one more time.
Do you think that, I know you're good friends with Johnny. Mm-hmm. Coach says he's going to need to address his off-the-field stuff again in the offseason to be the best he can be on the field. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like he needs to address the off-the-field stuff to be the best he can be? And if so, do you feel like maybe you can be, as a friend, instrumental in helping him in that regard?
Yes, for sure, I can be. And I think that me and Johnny are good friends, and really, 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 really want the best for him. Mm-hmm. And I think just sometimes you got to, you know, with the off-the-field stuff, you got to be able to kind of know who you are, what your situation is, you know what I'm saying? And so a lot of the times, Johnny isn't doing anything too bad, but when you're a quarterback, it's unfair how you get treated sometimes. Like Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, these quarterbacks, they're held to a different standard. And even when it means that you might not be able to do what you want to do sometimes, I mean, you're the face of the franchise, you're a professional quarterback in the league, and sometimes you just got to – it might not be fair the way you're treated, even when you think you're doing just normal things that everybody's doing. Mm-hmm. You're held to a different standard. And I think that's something that I love Johnny, but we just got to just really realize that you're not everyone else.
That was Joe Haden. First words we've heard from him in a long time. Sounds like he will make a full recovery, which is good, and we'll have him back for the 2016 season. Also, some good words there for Johnny Manziel. When we come back, the kid's going to join us. We're going to pick the game for Week 17 around the National Football League. Zagur and Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, and it is time. That's right, it is time to pick the games as we head into Week 17. The kid, I picked one up on you. I'm two down. Wilhelm lost another one to you. I believe he is seven down now as we get ready to hit the playoffs.
I think that might be eight, but who's count?
Well, hold on. I'll tell you right now. I'm pulling up the spreadsheet. I can tell you right now. All right, here we go. I think there are a lot of up-in-the-air games. Wilhelm is seven down. I was correct. Thank you. I am now two down, and here we go for Week 17. Kid, as you know, you will go first. By the way, the kid, before we get started, your thoughts on your self-proclaimed greatest coach in the history of the National Football League being fired.
No. Hold on. I never said greatest coach in the history of the National Football League, because what I said is the greatest coach in the history of the National Football League is Bill Belichick, and I've never steered anywhere clear of that.
All right. Well,
I concur, kid.
Your second favorite coach in the history.
I want to talk second favorite coach, and I'm going to make a statement here that will probably be unpopular, but if it was me and I'm looking for a coach, he's the first guy I call. Look at all the other great coaches in the NFL today, including Belichick and Pete Carroll. What do those guys both have in common? They didn't win in their first stop. It's the smart guy that's going to come to him, and he's hopefully going to learn from his mistakes and come back much stronger in his next opportunity.
So would that make Josh McDaniels a great candidate to you as well?
Absolutely. In my opinion, the top two candidates right now are Josh McDaniel and Chip Kelly.
What about Hugh Jackson? He also fits your bill.
Yeah,
actually 8-8 in Oakland when he got fired.
Yeah,
Pat Shurmur.
That's 1 year.
And Pat Shurmur being retained by the Eagles, right?
Oh, yes. Pat Shurmur. I mean, that guy's never been a coach once, let alone twice.
All right, here we go, kid. We'll start with an easy one. New England, Miami.
New England.
New England for me as well.
New England.
That one is unanimous. Now it gets a little bit more dicey. Pat Shurmur's Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. Nobody has anything to play for. Giants laying 3.5.
I'm going to go with Elijah.
I'm going to go with the New York Giants as well.
I'm going to take the Giants.
That was strictly because I knew you guys were taking the Giants. I have no clue on that one.
I thought you would take the Eagles because the players hated Chip Kelly so much that they would rally for a big game.
I think you had Odell Beckham back with a lot to play for in Week 17.
All right, here we go. Baltimore at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati for me as well.
Cincinnati. Ravens can't do it 2 weeks in a row.
No, they cannot.
Not on the road.
So far, we're not having all these fun games that we're talking
There's
about.
There's more to come.
All right, here we go. The New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. Rex Ryan at home, a 3-point underdog with the opportunity to knock the Jets out of the playoffs.
I'd like to do it, but I'm not going to. I'll say the Jets.
Oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say the Buffalo Bills. Nobody circles the wagon like the Buffalo Bills.
I'll take the Jets.
Ooh, all right. You really don't think the Bills can win that game?
I do think the Bills are going to win that game. Maybe I'll surprise myself on that one.
Pittsburgh at...
Pittsburgh.
We'll wait for that one. We'll come back to that. There's going to be a lot of suspense in that one. Let's wait for it. Tennessee at Indiana. The Indiana Colts still clinging to playoff hopes.
And who are they starting at quarterback?
Could be Stephen Morris.
Josh Freeman was signed.
There's nobody trying to win that game on the other side of the field. Indiana.
Okay. I'm going to take the Tennessee Titans in that one.
I'll take the Colts.
I think I regret this one already. Like, do you think they have to tank to get the number one pick?
Yeah, of course.
New Orleans at Atlanta. Atlanta, a 4-point home favorite.
I'm going to say Atlanta. I think they've righted the ship a bit. I think that they're still playing hard. They want to finish strong. I think the Atlanta Falcons win that.
They're out of playoff contention.
Don't care. I'm taking Atlanta. You can have New Orleans.
I'm taking them, too. I don't understand why they'd be a 4-point favorite.
I'll take the Saints.
Wilhelm. his first opportunity to climb back in as well. You're going to have to be a little more aggressive here.
Playoffs is a long road.
It
and
is.
And we're going to have – everything's going to be a coin flip in the playoffs.
Well, you would think so. Jacksonville at Houston, the Texans' six-point home favorites.
Houston.
I will take Houston as well.
I'll take Houston.
All right. So maybe there are a lot of unanimous ones. All right, here's an interesting one. Detroit at Chicago. Chicago, one-point home favorite.
You know what? They've been my squad before. They're going to be my squad again. I like the way they're finishing as well. It's Detroit, Lyon.
Oh, I thought you were – Chicago's your squad.
No, no.
I'm taking Detroit, the Lions, Lyon, too.
I'll take the Bears.
Oh, well, I mean, why not? That's a good one. Vegas says that's a good one to take. Washington at Dallas. Skins at the Cowboys.
This is interesting because Washington has zero to play for. And I think they might even be an underdog in this game.
3.5-point underdog.
Yeah, just based on that, I'm going with Vegas. I'll take Dallas.
I'm taking Dallas, too.
I'll take the Skins. They're going to want to keep the momentum going. Washington's a team that if they dip, I feel won't go into the playoffs and crank it back up. So they got to keep running hot.
I don't know how I feel about that one. St. Louis at San Francisco. St. Louis Rams at the San Francisco 49ers.
What's the line?
Let me tell you.
Rams 3.5-point road favorites.
Let me tell you something about St. Louis. As much as I love to criticize Jeff Fisher, and I do, this is classic Jeff Fisher. Your team stinks. And then you rally them at the end of the year. You win 3 games in a row, and people say, oh, they're going to be good next year. Same thing people said last year. I've heard people this week already say they're going to be good next year. It's not going to happen, but I will pick St. Louis in this game.
All right, I'm going to take the 49ers at home. It's 2 back-to-back long West Coast trips for St. Louis. I feel like
they're in the central time zone.
I think there's going to be a letdown after they beat the Seahawks on the road. I'm going to take the 49ers.
I'll take the Rams.
I don't know about that pick. I think the Niners have a shot in that game.
Good. You've just picked the Niners and Tennessee back-to-back. Congratulations.
Oakland at Kansas City. The Chiefs, 7-point favorites at home. They could. It is. Is it possible for them to win their division? What do they? Do they have anything to play for?
Yeah, they can win the division if Denver loses.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs as well then.
I'll go Chiefs.
If they've got something to play for. Tampa Bay at Carolina.
Tampa Bay at Carolina. What's the line in this one? I know
Carolina Panthers, 10.5-point favorites.
No, Carolina. I'm going to go Carolina. They still got to worry about the home field.
Carolina. Yeah. Seattle at Arizona. Arizona, 6.5-point favorites.
That's weird. Arizona, there's these games that you don't know what's going to happen once the other ones happen.
Yeah, but I don't think Arizona could know because they're going to be playing at the same time.
Yeah, all right, I'll take Arizona.
All right, I'm going to take Seattle there.
I will take Arizona. Seattle lost last week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take Arizona.
San Diego at Denver. Denver, 9-point favorites.
Denver.
Denver for me as well. And then Theodore on the road at the Green Bay Packers. Packers 3-point home favorites in a game for the
NFC
North.
Why are they only 3-point home favorites? That's weird. That's very weird to me. But I'm going to go with Green Bay anyway.
Ooh, I'm taking Minnesota. That's because Minnesota's a way better team. Packers stink.
Yeah, but the last time they were a way better team and they lost all.
Yep, that was last time. I'll take Minnesota.
I'll take the Packers.
I mean, that line does seem to me that's weird, but okay, I'll take the Packers anyways.
All right, so I've got 5 differences. The kid, this is a make or break week. Wilhelm's only got 3.
Yeah, I mean, Wilhelm's looking to regain second place, really.
Wait,
why don't you read those differences to me now since I'm going to be traveling on Sunday?
I have Buffalo, you have the Jets. I have Tennessee, who's going to do the most Tennessee thing ever and win a stupid game that they shouldn't win. I've got San Francisco over the Rams. I've got Seattle over Arizona. And I've got Minnesota over Green Bay. Wilhelm's got New Orleans over Atlanta. Chicago over Detroit, and Washington over Dallas. G.I. George wants to know if you guys agree with this. Should we throw in the games, the bowl games tomorrow for this week's tally?
I was going to say the bowl games tonight. The two tonight.
What, the kid?
I would say no myself because I got a lead. I'm bored with the night that last time.
You could build your lead. We should do the two games tonight.
Well, the two games tonight, you're talking about without point spread, so you're really talking about, I mean, as much as I'd like, and I am with Wilhelm, I'd like to see Sparty win as well. Just on the number, I would guess we would all pick Alabama.
All right, I'm going to pick Alabama as well. Are you going to pick Alabama, Will?
I am going to pick Alabama.
All right, so that's the same. So that's a non-factor. Oklahoma against Clemson. Clemson is a 4.5-point underdog, yet they're the number one seed in the tournament. The kid, that would say to you, Oklahoma wins going away, I'm sure.
I just like Oklahoma for two reasons. Not only is it the 4 versus the 1, but you're talking about a team that beat them 40-6 last year. And for the spread to be that, I could be wrong. Clemson could just beat them, but I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to take Oklahoma.
I like Clemson. Am I crazy? I mean, I don't know college football. Am I crazy
to
like Clemson?
No, I mean, I don't think so. They're the undefeated team. They're number one team in the country.
Why are they underdogs, though? That like makes me seem
because
seems
Oklahoma.
So crazy.
I mean,
Oklahoma's running hot since they got boat raced by Texas. They're a hot football team.
They're the only team in the country that's top 5, I believe, in offensive and defensive efficiency. Stats that you like that I maybe turn my nose at a little bit.
All right, for the fun of it, I'll take Clemson. Wilhelm.
I'll take Oklahoma.
They're getting no respect. Last year, the favorites did not win both games, correct?
Correct. Ohio State was a big dog.
Big dog.
That's the one thing that leads me to believe that Michigan State has a chance, although Ohio State's talent is on par with Alabama's, and I don't think Michigan State's is, although I didn't think Michigan State's talent was on line with Ohio State's.
Yeah, I don't think Bama. I think Bama's defense is going to be too physical and athletic for Michigan State.
I think Bama could lose the next game they play, particularly if it's Clemson with a running quarterback. I've said all year, I don't think they'll defend a running quarterback, and lo and behold, they don't have to play one until the national championship game now. They played one in Mississippi's quarterback, and they lost.
I could take a commanding lead.
You could take a commanding lead, or I could be
or it could
ordering
be over.
It up next week.
It could be over.
More than likely, it'll be somewhere in between.
You could be menu shopping, the kid.
I'm already menu shopping. I'm a confident man.
Can he go wire to wire, the kid? Well, we didn't. Oh, we forgot. Are we all going to pick the Steelers?
Yeah.
Okay, the kid. I did have one request from G.I. George.
Which
By the way, did you hear Jim O'Neill's presser today?
I heard a bit of it. I was actually looking at a property. That's why I switched around my time.
Oh, it was good. It was a good one today. G.I. George wants one final The Guarantee. He doesn't care what it is or what it's on, but he wants a The Guarantee on something, anything, he says.
The Guarantee is 2016 is going to be a glorious year.
That's a The Guarantee.
Yes, it is.
I like that. So everybody, go big in 2016. The kid is the guaranteed it to be glorious. All right, one more game. We're not going to pick it for our purposes here, but I'm curious to get your take on it. Ohio State, Notre Dame, the kid.
I'd like to hear Wilhelm's take on this. I actually had a question on this. With all these guys that are getting ready to go to the pros, are they excited to play their last game as Ohio State Buckeyes, or are they already caught, mind out the door, they're not even going to concentrate?
They
have a talented band.
Yeah, they definitely have a talent advantage, and Notre Dame has, their fair share of guys that are probably going to go in the first round as well, just not as many as Ohio State would. I would say if there are 6 guys that have their foot in the NFL parking lot right now, 3 of them will play with that mentality of, hey, I'm already gone anyway, and give that half effort. And I think 3 of them will be, hey, it's my last chance to don this uniform, play for Urban with these guys, and embrace being a Buckeye one last time. So 50-50.
So half and half, and it cancels each other out.
Right, it all depends too. Now, if Ezekiel Elliott's one of the guys that's half out, in the NFL world, then there's a good chance Ohio State can lose. I think, you know, Bosa can kind of be that guy, and the defense is still going to, you know, kind of play as is.
Yeah.
But if Elliott's, hey, embracing being a Buckeye, he can run wild in one last game.
I'm gonna call for Ohio State to win the game.
Oh, they're going to win the game, yeah. Okay.
Well, that's what we're talking about here.
There it is.
I'm going to call for Ohio State to win.
Unanimous.
All right. Well, that was very anticlimactic.
That was anticlimactic. All right. The kid always.
Who's Michigan play?
Michigan plays Florida, and I'm not feeling good about the game.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't either.
Didn't Florida almost lose to, like, some Florida International in the SWAT?
Harbaugh got super humbled in his last appearance.
They have a really good defense. And I'm very nervous about the game. He may have got humbled in his last appearance, but he has not been humbled off the field. Let me tell you something. The blue is coming, and we're coming strong, my friend.
The kid, is it true that you would go to WrestleMania now that Jim Harbaugh has called for it to be in the Big House?
I said I would go to WrestleMania if it was at the Big House. I would, yes.
That's what I'm saying. That's where you're going?
If it's there, just because he called for it, doesn't mean I'm going to WrestleMania and tips a puck, you know.
Kid, always a pleasure. Thank you for your glorious contributions.
One last thing. I think that comment about Johnny Manziel should play with the concussion is the stupidest thing that I've ever heard from a professional media person in this day and age with the knowledge that's out there right now, with the science that's out there.
I had a theory. Well, because
people that are having lifetime problems now.
Yeah, let me ask you this. It's something that just kind of occurred to me as I thought about it. Was that maybe the reason that the concussion movie is being promoted via NFL media during games, and the NFL's kind of had some hand in it? Is that they're going to use that to educate the average fan who is of the mindset, like many people called up today, said he was faking it, said that he should play anyway, it's ridiculous, to educate people on actually just how serious the concussion issue is.
I don't know. I think that the reason they're advertising it on NFL channels is because they're paying the ad dollars. I don't think the NFL is real clear. I don't think the NFL is doing anything.
Well, the NFL was—they were certainly a part of it. That's why there's the footage.
They were not a part of it. That's wrong. They were absolutely not a part of it. The footage that was used is there's some law that says that certain footage has to be allowed for public consumption, and they got that. I heard an interview with the guy, the producer, the guy that wrote the movie or produced it, whatever you want to say.
When Simmons was just talking about it on the BS report, he was saying that Goodell was able to view it beforehand, and the NFL was able to make suggestions about what they wanted in or out.
I don't think so. I hate to say the sports guy is wrong, but according to the interview I heard with the guy that wrote, that was, you know, the guy whose movie it is, it was like a half-hour interview. Mad Dog Russo interviewed him, and he said absolutely the NFL had nothing to do with it, was given no preferential treatment. In fact, they specifically did not talk to the NFL. They didn't want the illusion of that. Their company doesn't cover any NFL games. I forget which company did it, but they have no connection to the NFL. And he thought that was the reason that that studio was even willing to do it, because any of the other studios wouldn't have done it.
Interesting. I just think it's part of the education process. I think that's a big part of it. People need to know what's actually going on.
I hear you. I'm in agreement.
All right. That'll do it for the kid. Kid, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Mullen Ferrer.
My pleasure.
Happy New Year, bro.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to the kid. All right, we'll be back. Final thoughts, final forecast of the year right after this.
Set your alarm and start your sports day with Mike and Mike on your home for ESPN Radio, ESPN 850 WKNR, and ESPN.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll bring in our producer, Matt Fontana, for the final forecast of the year. What's up, Matt?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. How are you, man?
Good. Let's get started.
Number one.
The Browns will win Sunday if blank.
If they can shorten this football game by doing whatever it takes to pull out a victory, as we saw, you know, fake punts, fake field goals, onside kicks, running the football, shortening the game, whatever they have to do, they need to pull out to show this fan base that this team is still fighting for them. Yeah, when you say, what do they have to do to win? They've got to keep them under 20 points again. I really think that's the key against the Steelers. You got to keep them down, keep them off the field. I think they've got to win the turnover battle. I think they've got to possess the football for 33 or more minutes. And I think they have to limit the Steelers to 24 or fewer points. And even then, there's no guarantee.
Number two. Ohio State will win tomorrow if blank.
If the offense is diversified, and the reason I say that is because, as the kid mentioned, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, may show up, may not have his head in the NFL already. And Urban Meyer all year long has been so committed to running the football that our passing game is, and with JT Barrett and Cardale Jones, has just been so bad that if we can have balance and go 250 on the ground, 250 through the air, or 200 on the ground, 200 in the air, that is the recipe for success for an Urban Meyer offense.
Ohio State just needs to feed Zeke Elliott the ball. When they do that, they win. I think it's really that simple.
Number three. All right, guys, who wins the NFC North and the AFC South?
The Houston Texans will represent the AFC South in the playoffs, and the AFC North will be won by Cincinnati Bengals.
No, the NFC North.
Oh, NFC North. I'm sorry. NFC North will be won by the Green Bay Packers.
I'm going to say Minnesota Vikings, going with my pick for the NFC North, Theodore. And then, obviously, the Houston Texans are going to win the AFC South.
Number four. Will we ever see Peyton Manning play another game in the NFL?
I'm going to say no. He's going to play the backup role in Week 17 for Broncos versus the Chargers. I think Brock Osweiler, a big physical guy, has stood up to the test right now and will continue that run into the playoffs. And I don't believe we see Peyton Manning because his number may not be called again the rest of this year, and I believe he will, in fact, hang those cleats up after this season.
I don't think we will see him again. I think he's healthy right now, and they are going with Brock Osweiler. I don't think they stop that. I saw an interesting stat on Peyton. He has thrown 9 touchdowns this year, 17 interceptions. He's leading the NFL still in interceptions this year.
Wow.
Osweiler's thrown 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Wow. I don't think we see Peyton again.
Number 5. Final one, guys. Call your shot for both the Browns-Steelers game on Sunday and then the Ohio State-Notre Dame game tomorrow.
I'll go Browns-Steelers will be 31-13 Steelers, 31-13 Steelers. And I'm going to go Notre Dame, Ohio State. I'm going to say Buckeyes 38, Notre Dame 24.
I'm going to go Steelers 31, Browns 17, and I'm going to take the Buckeyes 28-21. And there it is. That wraps up the forecast for us here on CBD. Wilhelm, tomorrow, where can people catch you getting them ready for the Bucks?
Yeah, Buckeye Game Day right here on ESPN 850 WKNR, Buckeye Game Day. The game will kick off at 1. Our coverage will start at 10 a.m., leading right into the Buckeye Radio Network with Paul Keels and Jim Lachey. Go Bucks, go Browns. Happy New Year, everyone. There's a fun new app for your phone. It's called Uber, right?
Yes, use it.
Be safe tonight. Use it. Be smart. It's not worth it. And everyone have a happy and healthy New Year's and a 2016 ahead.
Yes, indeed. Hope everybody has a great time tonight. Thanks for being with us all year long. We couldn't do it without you. We certainly appreciate y'all very, very much. Have a happy, healthy, and safe New Year. We'll be back with you next year, a.k.a. Monday, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, for Matt Fontana and Matt Wilhelm and the kid. I'm Nathan Zagura saying Happy New Year from CBD.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.